Well, good morning, everyone. Why don't you make your way to your seat if you haven't landed in a seat yet this morning. We are in a series called Modern Family that we're wrapping up this morning. This is week three of it. We started week one, which was about men, week two, which is about women, and then this morning we're talking about the next generation. And as I start this morning, I want to start maybe on a note that isn't as positive. It's something that this past week has ripped generations apart. As we talk about the next generation, families are divided, workplaces are going nuts, and friendships have been flushed down the toilet this past week because of this one word. So I don't know if you heard this word this week. Can we play that word? We're going to give it. Let's try that again. Did you hear this word this week? All right, got a couple of things going on here. All right. So Laurel or Yanni? Laurel Camp, raise your hand. All right, Yanni Camp. Oh, man. So I'll tell you what, it's even dividing churches this morning. This one word. So I have a solution for this morning, a little middle ground. It's going to be Yonel. All right? So when we leave, just say, this is Yonel. Our church decided it this morning. Not really. But I don't know if you saw that or not on Facebook. If you're totally clueless right now, what's going on, pull up social media or the internet and look up Laurel Yanni, and you'll see this word that everybody is debating. What is the actual word? We don't really have the answer to it. A fun way to start this morning. But we are rolling into the summer now. And as we roll into the summer, we realize there's been some new families that have been coming out to United. There's probably a lot of families that are here this morning because of the parent-child dedication. And we want to invite you out to a lunch that we call a welcome lunch. It's for anybody that has come recently to United, and we'd love for an opportunity for our leadership and staff to get to meet you, to answer any questions you might have about United, to tell you a little bit more about our church, United. And it's right after service in a couple of weeks on the 10th of June. We just wrap up our service, and it's down the hall. We have Mission Barbecue, so it's really good food, and it's pretty short too. We're not going to like keep you here for a long time, and just a great way to connect. And so if you want to sign up for that, if you can go ahead on your Connect card this morning, you pull that out. That's that little program that you have. Just write on there, welcome lunch. We'd love to sign you up for that and to make sure we can remind you about it coming up. But please consider coming out to the welcome lunch that's taking place in a couple of weeks. This isn't a typical Sunday morning, having all the kids in with us to start, but even right now with elementary students. So elementary students, you probably got a blank sheet of paper right now and some crayons. We're talking about family, and so I want you to draw a picture of your family or of something that your family likes to do. We're going to have a little contest that our leaders, our elementary leaders, are going to like vote on the different pictures. And next week when you come back and you go to your room that you normally go to, they're going to give a prize to the winner of this kind of coloring contest. So as you listen today about talking about family, go ahead and start to draw and color and so forth. If you want to listen to, you're more than welcome to listen. Everything that we talk about is going to apply and connect to everybody in this room, whether they're elementary school or up through a senior citizen this morning. And we're going to talk about generations. Our last part of Modern Family is helping the next generation win. And I'm going to show you an image of a couple generations that might bring a generation to mind and see if you can guess what the generation is. So I'm going to pull up an image and just shout out nice and loud what generation this picture represents. So how about this picture? All right, heard one, the greatest generation. Anybody else want to take a guess? All right, so quiet crowd today. It's the greatest generation is what Tom Brokaw gave the name, but it's also known as the builders. So this generation is the generation that was born between 1930 and 1945. You know, a lot of them went to war, not because they had to, but because they chose to go to war. Kind of part of their life paradigm is maybe some frugalness and thriftiness. They save their wrapping paper from Christmas to Christmas and reuse it. And these are our builders in the generation. Anybody here a builder, part of this generation, the greatest generation? All right, a couple people, awesome, cool. So we have a couple of the greatest generation here this morning. Now, the next one, see what this picture reminds you of. What generation is this picture? All right, yeah, the baby boomers. So baby boomers were born between 1946 and 1964. So I'm saying the years so you can figure out, like, hey, am I this generation or that generation? And they're called the baby boomers is because all of those people from the builder generation came back war, they missed their ladies, and boom, we had some babies. 76 million babies, in fact, in this generation. There was a lot of baby making happen. Also, the hippies of Woodstock, the civil rights movement, also part of that generation. So do we have any boomers? Raise your hand if you're a boomer here. All right, a couple boomers that are here, loud and proud. That one guy, at least. And then how about this generation? What picture does this generation represent? Gen X. Yeah. Breakfast Club there. So Gen X, the latchkey kids, a little bit more independence. This was the opposite of the baby boom. This was the introduction to the birth control pill. And so they're like, they're the busters, you know, like we're busting up having all those babies. So it's a generation called the busters. Who here is Gen X? Raise your hand if you're Gen X. It's, I don't think I said the year, 1965 to 82. So raise your hand if you're Gen X. All right, a bunch of Gen X here. And then the next generation that we have, this picture, and you can go ahead and shout out this generation, you know. Yeah, there's millennials. So anybody born from 1983 to 2000, they're the selfie generation. You know, they have close friends that they've never met before because they're just digitally connected. They go to, you know, instead of going to one university to get multiple degrees, they go to multiple universities to get one degree. And so that's the millennials, all right? So, all right, who's our millennials here? Who's our millennials? Sorry I offended you. Calm down, calm down. Just a little joke. Like, I'm on the border, so they made like a new category, sociologists, called a Zennial. So people that don't want to claim, you know, one generation or the other. So I'm a Zennial this morning. I'm like right in the middle there. And then this last generation, which we have a picture of, is the babies, is the those that are students. Anybody, there's no name for this. They call it Generation Z right now, but no sociologists have come out with like a great name that will capture this generation quite yet. But it's anybody here who's probably high school or younger. And it's the introduction of screen time. Like, hey, we got to limit screen time. Like, that was never a phrase before this generation where babies and toddlers know more about tech than their parents do. And so this the generation that we're even celebrating this morning in parent-child dedication. And we're talking about helping the next generation win. And the question that I want to start by answering is, who is the next generation? Because many of us probably think, oh, it's all the kids, you know, that are in this room or the kids that were on stage. And I want to clarify the next generation this way. It's not just, you know, Generation Z or the millennials. The next generation is this. It's anybody who's coming behind you. The next generation applies to every person in this room. It applies to people that is coming behind us in age, and even an elementary student. It might be a three or third grade boy here this morning in elementary, and they're like, this message isn't going to apply to me, but it does because maybe you have a younger sibling that's not in elementary school yet, and you can help them win by telling them about elementary school and getting them excited about going to elementary school or going to United Kids and what happens when they move up and get older. Everybody in this room can help the next generation win. Even peers. Right now I have a friend, we're the same age, but he planted a church 10 years ago. And when we get together to hang out, he helps me win in terms of pastoring and leading and growing in wisdom in church planting and pastoring. But I'm a parent longer than he has. And so sometimes he'll ask me questions about parenting. And so we're just behind each other in different things and seasons of our life, and we can help one another win. And that's what we're talking about this morning, is helping the next generation win. And so that's the clarification of next generation, but the clarification of what's the win is more important. What does it mean for the next generation to win in life? Does it mean like their standard of living improves? Like they just, if they grew up not being able to go out to eat, they grow up and have a family of their own and they can go out to eat now. Or they grew up in a neighborhood that was rougher and they didn't like the neighborhood, so maybe they improve their quality of living by moving to another neighborhood. Is that a win, to improve the standard of living? And those might be wins, but that's not the specific win we're talking about. The win that we're talking about this morning is not improving a standard of living, but winning is providing a standard for living. And the Bible provides that standard for us. If you grab the Bible on your way in, you can open up that copy of the Bible that you can borrow any Sunday or even take with you if you don't have a Bible, to page 84. And if you have your own Bible, you can just open up to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look in the Bible to provide a standard for living for us. And we're going to find that as we rewind history this morning, we're going to look at the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel, in this time, in this part of the story of the Bible, is what they're doing is called the wilderness wanderings. They're kind of like not really sure where they're supposed to go. They're wandering through the desert and through the wilderness to what is called the promised land, because God promised them a certain part of land in this world. And because God promised that land to them, they're looking for it, and they're a little lost as they get there, but they're about ready to cross over to the Jordan River and to get into this land. Their standard of living is going to go up. They're going to be in a land that's described as flowing with milk and honey, great natural resources. But God doesn't talk to them or emphasize the standard of living. He emphasizes a standard for living. So let's check it out in Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and the laws of the Lord that your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess." And so the win here is not this dream come true land, but what they're going to do in this land. And it goes on to say, "So that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Highlighted some of those phrases because they help us to see, like, wow, this is going to be an amazing life in this land. It's going to be a long life. Things are going to go well for them. They're going to increase greatly. Their standard of living is going to go up. But it's the way that God calls them to live that he says next is where the emphasis is. He says, "Hear, O Israel," if I don't have your attention yet, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." That's it. This book, Deuteronomy, that we're reading from is just a book of different rules and laws and regulations, but it all boils down to this one. And this one provides the standard for living. This is the win, to love God. To summarize all of the rules and laws in the Bible in this one phrase, that's the win. And then it goes on to say how we love God. It gives us a little picture of how to do that. It says, "These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Look at the emphasized words. Teach them to your children. We had a bunch of parents just stand up here. They're going to teach these things to their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So you think sometimes a lot of parents talk about things as they sit around the dinner table, maybe bedtime prayers as they put their kids to bed, or when they're driving down the street and off to their next adventure, they're talking. So there's this picture of talking about these commands, this command of loving God. And it says, "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads." And without getting into all the details what that looked like in our culture, maybe we'll just fast forward to today and get a tattoo or wear a bracelet that says WWJD, maybe. I don't know. But tie them as symbols. And there's symbols that sometimes we can wear or put on our bodies that symbolize even this love of God. And then write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, if you've ever been to a friend's house that follows Jesus, chances are that you might have seen like a picture frame with a Bible verse in it. And so it's kind of like you're supposed to do that if you're really a Christian. And I'm totally kidding. This is not an exhaustive list of you need to do all of these things in order to follow Jesus and love God. What it does is it gives us a picture, and this is the point, that God's supposed to be loved in all things. That God's to be acknowledged in all things. That we have freedom and we should have a desire to talk about God in all things and kind of bring God to play in all areas and arenas of our life. And that's the point. Moms and dads made that commitment this morning as they have the privilege to introduce their children to God. We call parents here the primary faith trainer of their children. The most important person and influence in the lives of their children. And the next generation has the best chance of winning when moms and dads teach and train and talk about God in these ways. But our topic isn't just about parenting, because not everybody has a mom and dad that's going to tell them about Jesus. There's a lot of people that are winning in this world without a mom and dad telling them about Jesus. See, as a church, we're called to help the next generation win. And we all have a part to play in that, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because the story gets better. It gets better from going into the promised land, because things actually break down. In all stories, you know, things break down, sin enters the scene, people get into conflict with one another, and things just don't go the way they anticipated when they move into this promised land. And because things broke down in the promised land with the nation of Israel, then God promised a person. And there was a promised Messiah that was going to come. There was a promised Savior that was going to come rescue them, bring hope to them, bring healing to them, bring rescue to them ultimately. And that Savior is Jesus. And that introduces us to the win that we're all about this morning here at United. And when we say the next gen win, here's the win. The standard for living is to find and follow Jesus. See, to love God, to take that passage from Deuteronomy and fast forward it to Jesus Christ, because things in the promised land broke down, but things in Jesus never break down. Life breaks down, but Jesus doesn't. We sang about his reckless love, his love that never changes, is constant for us. And for the next generation to win, we want to introduce the next generation to Jesus Christ. It's the life, it's the best life that's on this earth, is to follow him, is to know the hope that's found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And all of us play a role in this morning. And I want to just give us one simple way to help the next generation win in this way. So we got this standard. So how do we do that? How do we help the next generation become smarter, wiser, healthier, live more fully in Christ than us? And it's this phrase. It's really easy to remember. It's not as easy to do. It's to show up. To show up for the next generation. On your way in this morning, you not only got a program, but you also got a little index card. Yes, everybody should have an index card. If you didn't get an index card, just take your program this morning. And I want you to take that card, and I want you to, on one side of it, to start writing the people in your life that showed up for you. Because you're here this morning probably because somebody showed up for you. They invited you to church. They helped you have a relationship with God. Or maybe you're in the process of asking some questions about God. Or maybe they just helped you in some area of life. You're successful in a career or successful in school because somebody showed up to help you reach that success. So start writing on that one side of that card the people that showed up for you in your life. You know, when I would think if I would fill out my card, I would put my mom and dad. They showed up for me. Every single sports event and concert that I had, they were there. They showed up for me when I was broken down on the side of the road or when life broke down for me. My mom and dad were there, so they showed up. I would write them on my card. I would write about the youth leader at a summer camp when I was 15 years old that noticed that there was something not right with me. I was confused. I wasn't quite getting things. I was distant. And he, instead of running off to have fun with the rest of the camp, stayed and talked to me and asked me some questions about what I was thinking about. And that night, he led me to place faith in Jesus Christ. He showed up for me. I had a pastor who showed up for me throughout my teen years and 20s that asked me some questions to help me navigate life's decisions about, you know, college and majors and girlfriends and marrying and having children and some of those big life-changing decisions. There was a pastor in my life that showed up for me. When I was home from college, he'd call me up and say, let's go out to lunch. And he'd invest time into me. Who are the people that showed up for you? And so if you haven't started writing your list, go ahead and just start writing your list this morning as you listen. Because as we talk about those people and be thankful and appreciative for them, they influence your life because they showed up for you. And we're going to talk about how do we show up for the next generation. How do we show up for other people? Because that's the win. If we don't show up, the next generation won't win when people don't show up for them. And so each week, I do want to draw attention real quick. Here at United, there's people that every week show up for the next generation. This is why we kind of don't have elementary going on this morning. It's because we're giving them a week off. There's small group leaders and large group leaders. There's some of our leaders that are still serving the preschool and nursery this morning. There are small group leaders, and they show up every week to help the students and the kids that come to this church win, to tell them and teach them about Jesus Christ. When a kid, you know, might be acting up, they're still faithfully loving on that kid. Instead of wringing their neck, they're telling him and showing them the love of Jesus Christ. They're awesome people. I actually want to introduce them to you right now. They don't know that I'm doing this, but can those small group leaders and large group leaders that serve and our United Kids that are here, can you guys stand up so we can see who you guys are? And let's give them a hand. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys. Every week, come in early and invest in our United Kids. But don't let them show up by themselves. So we could always use more hands, more hearts that want to love on the next generation and come here and invest in the next generation. It's a great thing. It's an amazing thing. But my guess is probably some of the things they've never heard is, you know, a comment from maybe one of those toddlers coming out of the room. Hey, thank you so much for investing in me, the next generation. I love coming to church and Jesus because of you. Like, has any three-year-old said that ever? Probably not to a leader. There's not always an appreciation or maybe that toddler or that baby that's screaming for 60 minutes in the face of a volunteer while mom and dad gets to listen to a message in this really nice warm room this morning. No, there's not always this great appreciation. And the thing about investing in the next generation is it's not always about changing the next generation, but sometimes God changes us too in the process. So there's a give and take in this relationship. There's something that everybody in this room has to offer to the next generation. But God wants to do something in you when you show up. And when you show up well, here's one of the ways that we show up well. It's just one word. It's influence. We need to understand how we influence people in the next generation, how we influence people in generally. A lot of people think that influence comes with power. So if you're like a boss or a CEO of a company, or you're the guy in charge, like you have all the influence. And I don't think that's true at all. I think there's a lot of people that are much lower on the ladder that have the greatest influence in different organizations, even here at United, that people have the greatest influence that are connected in a certain way. See, as a dad, I have 5 kids, and I can think about my son Liam, who's now 10, but if I roll back the clock to when he was 3 years old, there'll be moments where I would say, hey, Liam, it's time to go to bed. And like any 3-year-old boy, he doesn't want to go to bed on some nights, right? Has any parent ever experienced that before? And so what do? You say, you need to go to bed, and maybe the kid would say, well, make me, or you can't make me. And so Liam is a 3-year-old. Well, I just pick him up and I make him go to bed. I carry him upstairs. I help him brush his teeth, get him dressed, and have him lay in bed until he's asleep. And then I can go on with the rest of my night. I can use my power to influence him to get to sleep. But if I'm still pulling that move when he's 10, like today, that isn't going to go so well. I can still take him right now. But my influence will be dying down, right? We want parents' influence to continue to grow up. We want your influence with your anybody who's part of the next generation in your life to go up. Whether you're a child, or maybe it's a student that you have as a teacher, or somebody that you're mentoring in life, or coaching, or volunteering in a nonprofit organization, your influence goes up, and it doesn't go up by pulling a power play on that 3-year-old kid, forcing him to go to bed. It goes with a relationship. Because right now, with my son, who's 10 years old, he's really into lacrosse. And so the way that I'm seeking to influence Liam is hanging out with him with lacrosse. And so when I'm immersed in something at home, a project, or in the middle of doing something, he says, hey, Dad, I want to play lacrosse. I have some drills that I want to practice. I want to get better. I can choose to influence and to build to that relationship and say, you know, I'm going to put this aside right now, and I'm going to go play lacrosse and just hang out with my son. Or I could just choose to do my own thing. What do you think? What choice is going to influence him more? And I've done both. So I'm not up here saying, oh, all the time I'm hanging out with my son, investing in him. Not a perfect dad. But we all know how, when we show up and how we want to influence, it comes through the relationship. It comes through spending time over a meal saying, hey, Liam, you're getting really good at lacrosse. You do a great job out there and encouraging him, speaking into his life. It comes through those moments of building a friendship with my son and with you and the children or the next generation that are in your life. It comes over a relationship. How can we help the next generation win? It's to show up in a certain influential way. And we see Jesus showing up in a certain influential way. If you want to turn your Bibles to page 551 to a book called Philippians, where one of the first followers of Jesus is named Paul, and he writes to the Philippian church about how to follow Jesus Christ. He's giving them some instructions, and they're instructions that fall in line with what we're talking about this morning, how to show up well, how to be an influencer. And he says this about Jesus Christ, the ultimate person who showed up. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see those phrases that are highlighted? How is Jesus emulating showing up? He's putting others above himself, not looking out for his own interests. He's thinking about the interests of others. There's a word that comes to mind that might encapsulate this called empathy. Empathy, the ability to understand and share feelings of somebody else that might be different from you. Maybe like those millennials, you know, they're the selfie generation, all into themselves, except for the parents that boomed them into existence. You were called the me generation at one point. You were known as the generation that was about yourself too, right? And, or how about, you know, that little kid, you know, 3 years old, why can't they just keep up? Why are they always asking me to pick them up? Well, probably because it takes them 75 more steps in a minute to keep up with you. They're working 75 times harder than you to walk. And so when they say, pick me up, they're not lazy, they're tired. But we don't take the time to empathize with the next generation. We don't take the time to empathize with people that think differently than us or are behind us in some way. There's a great picture of empathy. I don't know if you recognize the picture of this guy on the screen, Colin Kaepernick. He's a great picture of empathy, and I want to tell you why. You might be like, uh-oh, what's going on? Before you pack your bags and leave the door, if this is where you land, I want you to hear a little something that you don't hear in the headlines. All right, so Colin Kaepernick has this silent protest where he takes a knee, but before he did that, he sat down. He sat on the bench, and Green Beret, who was offended with him, and he reached out to Colin Kaepernick and shared about his offense, and because he was hurt and kind of the feelings of his buddies that were in the military were hurt by the actions of Colin Kaepernick. And so what took place is these two guys got together. They had a conversation. Instead of, you know, yelling from the cheap seats, they sat down, they talked it out. And what the Green Beret was able to hear from Colin Kaepernick was a worldview that he never experienced as a white man. That's him standing up right next to Colin Kaepernick right there. His name's Nate Boyer. And so Nate heard a perspective from Colin, and Colin then heard a perspective from him of fighting for this country and giving his life for this country and how it hurt his feelings and how it hurt, like, and insulted him and his friends. And so what happened was he suggested, you know, in the military, we take a knee to honor those that have fallen. And so Colin, instead of sitting down, took a knee. So it might be disrespectful to you without knowing the story and the headlines and hearing everybody chatter, but behind the scenes, those men both empathized. They both put the interest of somebody else before their own. They had a conversation. It's a beautiful story of what Jesus wants to do in the world, of how Jesus wants to bring together. Because the reality is workplaces are divided because there's no empathy. Families are separated because there's no empathy in families. Churches divide because of a lack of empathy. Our political world right now is dividing and fracturing, and our country is divided and fracturing because there's no empathy. There's no examples like these guys, Nate and Colin. So maybe you have a different view of them this morning, and I hope you do. But I hope you have a bigger view of Jesus Christ this morning, because he did this in the ultimate way. He empathized in the ultimate way by doing this. As you read, continue to read in Philippians 2, it says in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used of his own advantage. See, instead of taking his power and using it to force that, you know, force a person to do something like I would maybe to my 3-year-old son, force him to go to bed, he actually gave of himself. He emptied himself of his power to be used for the advantage of others. And it says this phrase here, it says, rather than making himself, he made himself nothing and took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This is how Jesus showed up. He hit pause in his life to interact with us. He stepped out of heaven and into this world to have an interaction and to know and understand what it's like to live on this earth. That's the first thing we need to think about, is pause to interact. If we want to have influence, pause with your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and interact with somebody that might be different than you. And specifically, we're talking about the next generation. Understand the next generation. Understand why they do the things they do, why they think the things that they think. You know, Jesus is the model for this type of empathy, where he steps out of heaven into this world with the same struggles that we face. You know, the biggest influencers in this world are people that empathize in this way. The best business leaders and leaders of organizations have this type of empathy. And they go past making assumptions, and they pause their life to interact and get involved in the generation behind them and other people that they work with. But the most valuable part of empathy is in the next verse that we're going to read, and that Jesus models for us, where it says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus used his power by emptying himself of all that power, by hitting the pause button so that he could hit the play button in somebody else's life. When he hit pause on his life and gave his life and laid it down, he brought us life. He hit play and he made the possibility of us coming alive in God a reality because of his death. That's what this whole thing is about this morning here at United Church. That's why we celebrate communion every single week. It's because we want to make sure we are focused and based in this one truth that Jesus gave of his life so that we can have life. If we are missing that, we are not a church. And that's what's most important. But what we also see from that picture is the way that we can empathize, the way that we can show up for people. When we hit pause in our life and hit play, it's pause to give back. Because that's what Jesus ultimately did. He paused his life to give back to us and to bring new life in us. And so when we think about investing in the next generation, maybe it's a mom or dad being offered a lucrative salary or a great job opportunity, but it will pull them away in that crucial time of child rearing from their kids, not being able to get to soccer games or concerts or just be there to help with homework. And it will pull them away and they say no. They hit pause on their life, or they hit pause in a career. Maybe you're here and you have a parent like that in your life. And they hit pause so that play could take place in your life, so that you can have life, that you could have a person that showed up for you. Or maybe it's the person that can travel the world, they have the means to do so. Hey, this is the season of life where I could just go and here or there and I just want to make the most of it. And they say pause to their life to show up. Maybe because there are kids in an after-school program that need tutoring and help. They might not even be appreciative kids, but that pause brings life to one of those children. Or somebody who, you know, could be out hanging out with friends after work or school, and there are other students, especially in this community, a huge need of English as a second language tutors. And they say, you know what, instead of going to happy hour with my coworkers, I'm going to go and I'm going to help other students learn English as a second language. It's just some small examples of hitting pause in their life to hit play in the life of somebody else, to bring life. It's the way that Jesus brought life for us. It's the way that he showed us how to follow him. And you have a card that you've been writing names on. You probably wrote them really quickly to start off, but I want to make sure you pull that card back out. Because there are people that showed up for you in these ways. Some of these people are those people. And the question that I want to ask you to consider is, are you on somebody else's card? So that you have people on your card this morning, they showed up for you, they influenced you, they invested time and energy. But is there anybody in this room where your name is the name on their card? Or in this life, maybe they're not in this room, but that they live in the neighborhood or the community, or they were a friend long ago. And if they had the opportunity to write names on their card, it would be your name. So turn your card over right now and think of the one person in your life that might be coming to mind that says, this is somebody who's behind me, the next generation for me, that I need to make sure I invest time and energy into making them win in life, to find and follow Jesus. Who's one person? I told you it was going to be easy this morning. Show up is the main point. And then I'm even just telling you, just one person. And maybe you already know who that person is. And today is God's just nudging of saying, hey, that's the person I want you to reach out to and invest time into their life. Maybe you're not really sure and you just need some time to ask God to help you. But don't leave today without asking God to help you. Say, who is that person, and taking some actionable step. Maybe you're a parent and you've been committing too much time away from that next generation for you, your children. And you need to pull back in some areas maybe of work or things that you're involved in to invest in some crucial years for your children. And so that one person might just be your child this morning. But there's somebody for all of us that we need to show up for. And it can change their life. You know, I pointed out small group leaders early this morning. They're showing up every week, you know, to see the next generation win in life. But remember when I talked about how when we show up, it doesn't just change others, it changes us? Here's the thing that I want to encourage you this morning. Just in life in general, following Jesus, Show up, not just on Sunday morning, show up in a group. Show up in a relationship that is going to help you grow in Christ. You have gifts to offer to other people. And show up in the context of a church. If you just come to United or any church on a Sunday morning and warm a seat, you're not going to grow. You need to show up in other places and invest time and energy getting to know people. We have some great opportunities through groups that are coming up this summer to meet some people here that have been coming to United. There might be other great opportunities in our community. I was talking to a pastor in our community. He's been here for 15 years this week. We were hanging out. And he has children that have grown up in this community. He said, you know what? The one thing that's most challenging about raising a family here is there's nothing to do for kids. There's nobody like rallying around them and cheering them on and helping them. He didn't use this phrase. I'm using it when, because we're talking about it this morning. But it's essentially what he was saying. And he was lamenting that of 15 years living here. And we're just a new church getting started. I don't have any answer for that question. I don't know that we're going to be able to solve that in the next year. But maybe in the future, United could play a part in helping the kids in this community to win in life, to show up for them in a meaningful way. In the foster care system, how can we show up? In ESOL programs, how can we show up mentoring and tutoring the next generation? What is God calling you to do? And I just want to encourage you to think of one thing. So I'm rattling off a bunch of things, not that I do all of them, but do something. Help the next generation win in some way. And as we do this, never forget this though. Never forget that God showed up for you. We're just not about, hey, just show up, do all these great things, help the next generation win. We're about God. And God, through Jesus Christ, showed up for you. And this morning, the most important decision for you is possibly not to show up for somebody, but to realize that somebody showed up for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that this morning, God wants to be in a personal relationship with you because Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross to make it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins and to have a personal relationship with God. And the most important truth, maybe for some that are wrestling with where they're at with God, is to respond to that love this morning. And I want to encourage you to respond by just praying to God and asking to grow in this relationship with Jesus. On your Connect card, there's an option there. If you want to have a relationship with Jesus or need help, we'd be glad to help you. We'd be glad to talk to you in our area out there called the Next Steps area, helping you take that step of faith. Maybe baptism is the step that you need to take where you publicly are baptized. And elementary kids that are here right now, if I can get your attention back real quick because you've been immersed in that coloring page or just ignoring me possibly, or maybe you're listening and you're doing awesome. If you have placed faith in Jesus Christ, baptism isn't something for people that when they grow up, they do it. It's for anybody who understands and knows the message of Jesus, loves them and cares for them and wants to place their faith in Jesus Christ. You can be baptized as a way to publicly tell your family and your friends and the people here at United that you love and follow Jesus. And we set up just a little tub here on Sunday mornings and we baptize people as a symbol of following Jesus, and it's something that Jesus told his followers to do. And if you're interested in doing that and you're a child here, nudge your parent maybe and tell them to put it on their Connect card. I want to get baptized, because maybe you don't have your own Connect card. But in some way, I would encourage anybody elementary all the way up, is baptism your next step here at United? Because that's the best step you can take this morning. More than showing up is to know that God showed up for you. Let's pray.